praises for this evening commence with metrical Psalm 34, verses 8 to 15. O taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God, his saints. None that him fear shall be with want oppressed. And then to close, hymn 514. Father of mercies, in thy word, what endless glory shines. Forever be thy name adored for these celestial lines. Let us seek God's face together in prayer. Almighty God, we come to thee, our heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee for this blessed mediator at thy right hand for us, we who believe in him and are found in him for our righteousness and acceptance. We stand on no other ground than that which thou hast laid in the gospel. And we thank thee, dear Lord, we stand upon the rock, even him who is the rock of our salvation. Bless us in him, heavenly Father, according to thy promise, and draw us near to thee, and grant us that feeling sense that we are in thy presence, and thine eyes are upon the righteous, and thine ears are open unto their prayers. May the Holy Spirit graciously enable us as we exercise faith and as we show our love to thee and as we hope in thee for every good and every blessing. Grant that this time together this evening under thy word might be very profitable to us. Speak to us, Lord, by the applicatory presence of the Holy Spirit. Impart thy word to our souls. Do us every needed good while we wait on thee. We pray that hearing thy word may increase faith, bring us to know and love thee more, enable us to grow in grace and to live out the Christian life unto all pleasing. Comfort us, Lord, strengthen us, humble us, lift us up, guide us, reveal thyself to us. We commend ourselves to thee. We pray for one another in these days, that thou wilt graciously help us in our homes and in our goings out and comings in as we are able. How different life is these days from how it was even a year ago. And we pray, Lord, that thou who art the sovereign author of all events, and including this pandemic, that thou wilt nonetheless bless thy people especially and give particular grace. May we have a believing outlook on this whole matter and acknowledge thee and trust and pray that thou wilt overrule this for the good of the nation, the good of the church, the good of thy gospel. We pray, Lord, that the nation may hear God's voice in the pandemic and be drawn to thee. And we pray that thou wilt help thy people. So affected, Lord, we pray for comfort and for wisdom and encouragement in these times. Make these things, O Lord, a positive blessing. And we pray that we shall not be the losers, but even gainers by them. We pray for churches and their ministers, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt nonetheless and still bless the preaching of the word, either in the building or online, and grant that thy sound might go out and reach far places, many other people. Draw needy souls to hear thy word, and grant, O Lord, unbeknown to us perhaps, that bread cast upon the waters shall be found again after many days. Hear us now as we humbly pray. We confess to thee our latest sins, all of them, Lord, known and unknown, but all known by thee. Cover every one with the atonement of thy Son. Cleanse us from all sin and from sinning, and sanctify us in heart and life. And hear our prayer now, and answer it abundantly this evening hour. And we ask all in Jesus' name, for thy glory and praise. Amen. Now we turn to God's word in the first epistle of Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we read from verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile and hypocrisies, and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We know that when a baby is born, that is only the beginning. The healthy newborn babe cannot remain as it is. It must feed on milk. God has given it the instinct to turn its little head to wherever the milk will be. Then it sucks contentedly. It is the beginning of feeding, developing, and growing. This is what lies behind Peter's words here in his first letter, chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3, particularly as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If we are real Christians, we shall feed on the scriptures and be concerned to grow in grace. The word that conveyed our spiritual birth also nourishes our needy souls. With the new birth comes this spiritual instinct for God's word and a relish for it. And like the literal baby, this will be the best sign that we are alive and healthy. Let us see then from this illustration how it works in practice, how we derive benefit from God's word, and how we are helped to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let us first of all notice here in these verses the description. In verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. This describes us, you see, newborn babes. This is a figure that will always hold good for real believers. Now, we have to make an important distinction at this point. Peter is using this illustration of newborn babes not in a comparative way, as the Apostle Paul does in 1 Corinthians 3 and Hebrews 5. There, he writes to the believers at Corinth and his recipients, the Hebrew Christians, and he blames them for being like babes and can only receive the milk of the word and not the strong meat that they ought to be receiving by now. In other words, he there uses it as a picture of immature Christians who should have grown and not still be childlike, childish, like babies. But Peter is not using the figure in that way. He is using it not in a comparative way, but simply as a descriptive way of all believers, at whatever stage of their growth they are at. There is a sense in which every real Christian is like a newborn babe and in need of milk, in this case, the milk of the word. And so it is a beautiful illustration, and it means, of course, that we are in a tender relationship with God our Father. We are his newborn babes. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, he says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion upon the child of her womb? They may forget, yet will I not forget thee." He regards us in that way, as a sucking child, a nursing infant. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you." And we often feel, don't we, that we are like a helpless infant. In 1 Kings 3, Solomon himself said, "I am like a little child. I don't have wisdom. I need wisdom." Jeremiah, in the first chapter, he says, "I'm but a child. I can't preach to others." But the Lord, of course, equips and strengthens. And it is good when we feel our smallness and our helplessness, because then we will look to God our Father and the promised grace and enabling. He views us in this place of need, and he comes in for us to help us. We are precious to him, and he will be all that we could ever need him to be, because we can't help ourselves any more than a newborn babe can help itself. Utterly dependent. And that is a good thing to be, and a good thing to feel. It will keep us from pride and self-sufficiency, and cause us always to depend upon the Lord. So this describes us, and it shows us how we are nourished in order to grow. The sincere milk of the word. The Bible is like mother's milk to a baby. It's pure and it's safe. You see, the sincere milk of the word. It means unadulterated, unmixed. The Bible will only ever do us good, never any harm. It's pure truth. Back in 2018, there was a scandal over a French company that issued baby milk powder that was contaminated with salmonella, and some babies became ill. Before that, in 2008, a Chinese company issued baby milk that was contaminated with melamine, and some babies even died. The need of milk powder for babies to be pure. Of course, mother's own milk is the best of all. But you see, the Word of God is pure in itself, never contaminated, never bad, never harmful. It's an indirect evidence, isn't it, that the Bible is true? Because if the Bible had any mistakes in it, or any lies in it, it would then be corrupt, and it would do harm. But this is the sincere, pure milk of the Word. It's always blessed to our souls. You can feed upon it with confidence. And of course, it reminds us that we should only feed on the pure milk of the Word where it is administered accordingly, sincerely, and faithfully. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2 that ministers should not handle the Word of God deceitfully. False prophets do that. Theological liberals do that. False teachers of all kinds. We're living in days, dear friends, when we have to travel further and further, don't we, to hear a sincere and faithful man of God to open the scriptures to us and be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people. But it's worth travelling, because here we get food for our souls, pure milk, and we can only grow and flourish as Christians on that. No real believer should tolerate adulterated milk. Mothers wouldn't give milk powder to their babies that were suspect. God doesn't want believers to have milk that is suspect, but only the sincere milk of the Word. Settle for nothing else. And here is an encouragement to us in this description. We'll find that the Word of God will benefit our souls even without us being aware of it. Does the infant, when it's feeding, think about the process that's happening? As that milk is entering its little mouth, going down into its tummy, and going round its system ultimately, and helping it to grow? Of course not. All it's concerned about is the pleasure and the comfort of the experience. And dear friends, under the preaching of the Word, or in the Word for ourselves in reading and meditation, we don't always remember, do we? We don't always hold on to what has been said to us, what we've learned, how it's affected us. And yet, we are taking it into our souls. It is going round our system spiritually, and it is affecting us and changing us, sanctifying us, comforting us, sometimes without us hardly realizing it. Obviously, ideally, the more we remember, the more we keep with us, the better. But even in those times when we feel that we may have lost so much, we've lost less than we think, dear friends. It's there, it's in us, and it's doing good. And by the applicatory presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit, it will do us good forever. And then you see, it teaches us in this description of we and our spiritual food, there is no other way to grow than this way, the sincere milk of the Word. Spiritual growth is in direct relation to receiving the Word. Just like the infant, there can be no substitute, can there, for that pure milk. And neither can there be a substitute for us concerning for God's Word. Never. And yet the worrying and tragic thing these days is that so many believers hanker after other things besides the sufficiency and primacy of God's word as a means of grace to their souls. We can illustrate it like this. Say in any given large town, if big premises were hired for a public event for Christians to attend, if there were a well-known contemporary worship group, and that was advertised and tickets were sold, compared with the same premises booked for a well-known and edifying preacher to come and preach a series of meetings throughout the week, which would be the better attended? Which would contain more young professing Christians? You don't need me to answer that, do you? And that's the tragedy of these days. In better days, you could hire a huge premises and have a well-known, renowned preacher, and parties from various local churches would come in cars and in coaches and fill the place, and there would be delight in the preaching of the word. I was taken to such places when I was a young Christian, as a teenager, along with all the other people who were there, and although I don't always profess to have been blessed because I was limited in my growth at that time, and yet I remember those times, godly times, times which honoured the word of God, attended by serious worship, and then a heightened expectancy as the man of God preached the word of God to us. Ah, those days sadly are long past. It's not, dear friends, that there's anything wrong with the scriptures. The wrongness is with us, isn't it so? The same believers who would rather have the Christian rock group than a serious preaching meeting will say, ah, well, the serious preaching meeting is old-fashioned. We have better things, more liberating, joyful things now. Yes, but infants feeding on milk is old-fashioned. They've done it from the beginning. They still do it. They will always do it. That's the only way they can be nourished. What's old-fashioned is not necessarily wrong. There are certain things that are old-fashioned and forever new. You see, we read it in our Bible reading earlier, didn't we? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Old-fashioned, yes, but new-fashioned and forever-fashioned as well, and should always be that great and only means for God's people to be blessed by God. May such appetite and relish and honouring God's word come back again to us, and then the churches will be the better for it. May the Holy Spirit come again in great waves of power and honour his word and bless it to God's people and multiply the numbers of God's people who long with a spiritual appetite to feed upon the word of God and come to know the God of the word all the better. Well, that's the description. Let's look secondly at the appetite. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile and hypocrisies, envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And you see, an appetite is assumed, as we've seen, and it will be there if we are real Christians. An appetite is not something in our hands, but it should be in our hearts. But something will affect it. And that something is told us there in verse 1. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. These sins, sins against brotherly love, we could call them, there is always a direct relation between the vertical and the horizontal. In other words, how we are in our relationship with our fellow Christians will affect our relationship with God, will affect our appetite for His Word. And you see, sins against brotherly love, these few listed here as examples, will hinder appetite and will hinder spiritual growth. All malice, for instance, verse 1, ill will toward another, with an intention to hurt, the malice in it. Remember the sixth commandment? It's not only the physical murder, but it's the anger and the enmity in the heart that can murder Christian love and murder Christian fellowship. You're not going to want to feed upon the pure milk of God's word. You won't grow thereby with malice in your heart. And then all guile and hypocrisies. In other words, every kind of pretense and insincerity. It's awful when someone is manipulative. They may be only pretending friendship in order to get something from you, or they're flattering you to get round you for something. And you know it's not genuine fellowship. There's guile there. There's a hidden motive. There's hypocrisy. Not genuine. Believers who can indulge in that, their hearts are not right. And they're not going to love God's word and want to receive it and grow in grace and knowledge of their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, of whom we read later in this very chapter, verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And then envies and all evil speakings. Notice the two come together. Because you see, if you're jealous of someone, you don't have a good word to say about them. And how much criticism of others is out of jealousy? It has the appearance of concern about something that is perceived to be wrong with them, but so often can mask an envious heart that wants to do them down for its own comfort. You see how insidious these sins are, and how they are incompatible with spiritual appetite and wanting to grow in grace through the Word of God. And we need to examine ourselves over these things, don't we? This will certainly spoil our appetite for the Word and our growth in grace. And that's why you see Peter here says we are to repent of such things if we find them. Verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. My spiritual progress depends upon it. It can be a problem, of course. We can't root out these things from our nature. But we can stop doing them if we are convicted of them. Laying aside, the picture is of, say, wearing a coat that is filthy, dirty, crawling with maggots and stinking. How would you feel if that were around you? You'd not want to have it near you. If it was on you, you'd divest yourself of it immediately in disgust. Laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Sin of this kind and in any kind is like that. And so you see, that must be done, repenting of it. There are cases among Christians where when they have been brought to this point, their eyes opened to these heart sins and sins of the tongue, and when they've repented, when they've apologized to the person concerned and been restored, they've experienced spiritual growth that they've not known for years. Grace has conquered, and grace has prevailed, and now there's growing in grace. The appetite has come back, and the relish for God's word is there again, and there's the delight in God's pure truth, the sincere milk of the word. And so you have this description of Christians as newborn babes and the word of God as their sincere, pure milk. And then the appetite that must not be hindered by heart sins. And then lastly, the blessedness. Verse 3. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now it's interesting, isn't it, the way this is put. It doesn't say, if so be ye have tasted that the word is gracious. Although of course that's true, isn't it? With such a relish and delight in God's word, and it's our spiritual milk for our souls, that we might grow thereby. Of course it's a gracious word. We've tasted that the word is gracious. But it says here, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Why is it put like that? For the simple reason that the word leads us to the Lord. We don't stop with the Bible, do we? We don't stop with it being the food of our souls. It brings us to Jesus, who is in fact the living word. And that is why, dear friends, the great purpose of the Bible is fulfilled when we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We're not merely Bible readers. We're not merely scripture feeders. We are lovers of the one who is the beloved of our souls. And the design of the word is to make him more real to us, bring us closer to him, and we taste that the Lord is gracious. It's a quote from Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Remember when the Lord Jesus was reinstating Peter, this very apostle, after his sin, he said to Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter affirmed it. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And here he's feeding Christ's lambs, as it were, or the newborn babes, with the precious word. And that feeding leading to the Saviour himself. That's the blessedness. Ultimately, it's the blessedness not to make us Bible students, but to make us those who love the Saviour and love him more and more the more we receive his word. But as I close, maybe if you're honest, you cannot identify with this. You'll notice the words of verse 3. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If. It's not taken for granted. We can't take it for granted. How do you know if you are a real Christian? The great proof is this, that you will feed on the word. not only publicly in hearing sermons, anyone can do that, but you'll do it secretly in reading the Bible day by day. And you will feed and you will grow as an infant upon its mother's milk, because it's life, it's development, it's progress, in order that you might grow and be strong. If anyone says, oh, I'm a Christian, and it said to them, how often do you read your Bible? Oh, I don't really read the Bible much, but I am a Christian. Well, that was strange, wasn't it? That would be strange. It's like having a baby and then it doesn't take any feed. What is that? It's not a baby, it's a doll. It's a dead thing. It looks like a baby. You can get some marvellously lifelike dolls these days, can't you? You can pay quite a bit of money, but they're made of such a material that it's just like real skin. And the face and the body, it's life size, and it's amazing how real these newborn dolls, newborn baby dolls are. And of course little girls love them, and I guess their mothers like them as well. But there's no life there. It doesn't feed. And a baby without its milk is not real. And a Christian without the Bible is not real. So how is it with you? Have you faced this fact? How is it with you and your Bible? Do you relish it? Love it? Don't always profess to understand it all, not always equally blessed by it, but you love the Word even as you love the Lord Himself. Is that true of you? Or do you have a formal relationship to it? You might bring it to church. You might just open it occasionally. It might be there in your house. Ah, is it in your heart? Are you born again? And the new birth conveyed to you through the gospel message? And then that same word nourishing your soul. You couldn't be without the Bible. Not superstitiously speaking, but spiritually speaking. Feeding upon the Word. Oh dear friend, you may not be born again. Oh, make sure that you're right with God. Pray that He will reveal Himself to you. Reveal His Son to you for your salvation. And seek His face, and do not rest until you have trusted Christ to be your Saviour. And in the words of Psalm 34 and verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Come and taste. See. Find out for yourself that He's good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. May it be so for you. May it be so for us all. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before Thee again. We praise Thee for the Holy Scriptures. We thank Thee, dear Lord, for Thy pure and spiritual truth. And we pray that Thou wilt ever bless it to our souls, and by that means bring us to Thy dear Son. May we grow up in Him. May we ever be like Him more and more. Hear our prayer this evening, our bless us richly, each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name and for Thy glory. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.